20 years ago, Lori was writing plays and reading scripts and had high hopes of writing a book when inspiration struck. While writing was her main job, she had a passion for design and style, so she started a side business creating and selling costume jewelry. She soon became frustrated and overwhelmed trying to keep up with her jewelry and keep it neat and organized, and she figured other women probably had the same experience or the same problem. So Lori set out to design a jewelry organizer that would allow her to neatly display her jewelry. She envisioned women everywhere being able to hang their jewelry like a fine store display, and she thought the product could be a hit. She didn't have a lot of experience at the time. She did have tons of passion and enthusiasm, and apparently that was enough to get her an initial loan, and she used part of that money to create a prototype, a plastic organizer. And rather than trying to go straight to market, she took the wise approach of taking it to the streets first. She lived in Chicago at the time, and she would take it around neighborhoods in Chicago, and she would actually stop women on the streets to get their feedback. And the good news for Lori was that the feedback was overwhelmingly positive, and so she decided to move forward. Next, she spent hours upon hours on the phone trying to get the attention of retailers. It wasn't easy. It was grueling, and it took a long time, and it took a lot out of her. But 6 months later, she managed to get a spot on the Home Shopping Network. During that first appearance on the Home Shopping Network, she sold all 2,000 units of her jewelry organizer within a matter of minutes. It was a hit, and shortly after that, she got picked up by JCPenney stores around Chicago first, and then nationwide. And then Lori soon found herself on QVC, and she hasn't stopped since. Today, Lori Grainer has more than 400 products available in the market and holds over 120 U.S. and international patents. You might recognize her as one of the investors on the famous TV show Shark Tank. Lori's approach to starting business is vastly different to that of the deadhead method I told you about two episodes ago. So today, I thought I'd tell you about another approach to getting started. But first, let me stop for a minute just to say hello and welcome to Quit Pinching Pennies, the faith-based podcast for moms and dads who want to work less and earn more so they can quit pinching pennies and focus on what matters most, like family, homeschooling, working from home, adoption, giving, missions. I call it the faith-based lifestyle design or the 4-hour work week for people of faith. I'm your host and teacher, Dave Mooring, and I'm super glad you're here. Oh, and before I get back to our main topic, be sure to listen to the end because I've got a little special announcement that I want to share with you. Now, back to our topic. So this method of starting a side business or income stream is much less focused on building a long-term audience as the deadhead method, which I told you about previously. And while building a loyal following, it could be a side benefit, but that's not the primary goal. The goal is to find something that people are willing to pay for and something that they really want before you spend a whole lot of time or money creating it or bringing it to market. And I like to call it the flea market method. I thought about calling it the street vendor method or the swap meet method. Those are all similar concepts. But when I was young, I recall going to flea markets with my dad, and I always thought it was odd how, while most of the stuff being sold was what I considered old and dirty stuff, there was always a table or two full of this new, shiny, cheap things in plastic, little toys or those oddly vibrant pictures in frames that were three-dimensional or something, knockoff toys like Rubik's Cube or even movies or cassette tapes and things like that. And I later realized that these people were trying to find something that the people at the flea market wanted to buy, something that would be a hit. And so what they would do is they would bring a bunch of cheap stuff in small quantities that they could get maybe from overseas, and they would put it out on the table because they knew there would be a lot of people there and people that were willing to spend money, and also people that would probably drop, you know, $1, $3, or $5 or so on something at a whim. And they would put it out on the table and they would see what sells, and whatever would sell, they would get more of that. And if it didn't sell, well, you just kind of cut your losses and maybe mark it down and you try to get rid of it and move on. So rather than taking time to build an audience or a fan base, really you start with the sell in mind. And so that's why I call it the flea market method. You find something that people will buy and then you just sell it to them. Again, you might end up with fans down the road, people who love your product or what you do. But that's not the focus, at least not in the beginning anyway. So your focus is on finding or creating a product or service that people will buy, And again, before you do any work, and this is actually a large part of what I teach in the Super Simple 1K course, which is where I help people go from no idea to $1,000 a month or more in about 8 weeks. And it basically takes you to this process. But the main thing here is that you're prohibited almost from spending any money or doing any work that isn't critical to getting that product to market. And so by any work, I mean, you don't create a website, you don't come up with a business name or a business card or a logo, no Facebook page or blog, no email list, none of that stuff, which really just kind of detracts you and keeps you from doing the hard work of getting that product to market. So to find something that people will buy, you actually go through a process of generating ideas, or I like to call it ideation. And you think, come up with things that you could offer. It could be a service or it could be a product. And again, think about that like a street vendor who would spread out a few dozen things before you, constantly looking for, you know, what's hot, what are people are going to buy, seeing what works and seeing what won't work. It, for you, it could be a product or it could be a service that you provide. But you come up with ideas that are a possibility, and then you pitch an idea to individuals or small groups. And if people are eagerly willing to buy on the spot, for the price that you offer, then you know you're on to something and you can start building from there and you can start working your way up to that $1,000 a month or more. And if no one wants the idea, if you know, you're kind of met with rejection, you could ditch that idea and move on, or you could find out maybe something else that they would be interested in. And the upside about going through this process is that it's pretty quick to find something that would generate income. So again, you're just going through these ideas and this process and the system of coming up with ideas. Now, I do recommend doing a little bit of testing and some research first to make sure that people are searching for it or find other products that are similar. But essentially, you know, in a few weeks, you can go through the process of coming up with an idea and testing it and know right away if that's something people will pay for, which could hopefully lead to some income pretty quickly. Here's some examples. It could be a t-shirt design, subscription to something that you have access to, like even a local coffee roaster or something like that. You could write an ebook on wedding planning, an ebook on sales, an ebook on gardening. You could build a widget maybe in your garage or something that you can make out of toys or something similar, or even a basic piece of software or a mobile app or something like that. And another huge benefit of going this route is that if it's done right, you can actually pre-sale it before you make it. And you can think of Kickstarter as an example for that. You could basically come up with an outline or a prototype, or if it's an ebook, you can just come up with a cover. You can show that to people, let them know what the price is and what the benefit is, and then get a certain number of pre-sales before you go and make it. Maybe you can offer those people a discount. So that's the upside of kind of getting it to market quickly and maybe even doing some pre-sale. The downside is, and it's, I wouldn't call it necessarily a downside, but it's really more like a business. So the deadhead method would be more like building an audience over time, relating to your audience. And the easiest example of that is maybe like a blogger or a musician or a photographer or something like that. But because this is more like a business, you are going to need a steady flow of new customers. So you're going to want to make sure you have really good access to customers or people that you would try to serve, or that the product would be a good fit with. And I think that's why Lori Grainer, with her first product for the jewelry organizer, she knew she was her target audience herself, and she had access to people. And the other thing to keep in mind here is that if you're going to scale it so that you can make more money, you're either going to need to put in some systems to help you do that, or you might even need to hire people. So, and that's especially if you find a physical product that you want to sell. So somebody's got to make it, somebody's got to ship it, deal with returns, customer service, and then you have bookkeeping and taxes and things like that. But again, the good news even with that is that there are lots of websites and services to make that even easier and less time consuming. You can do drop shipping. You can find a virtual assistant. You can even outsource customer service. And then you can go to Fiverr to get a lot of help with a lot of different things. And one other big benefit that I want to mention of going this route is that if you're not a big fan of writing blog posts or creating content or even spending a lot of time on social media, then you could potentially build something that doesn't require that type of writing and interaction and things like that, at least in the early stages. You might want to consider that going down the road. So again, the flea market method is a good option for you if you're interested in starting your online business. Rather than taking time to build a loyal following or a dedicated audience, you want to get something up quickly. And I know that I've just skimmed the surface on both the deadhead method and the flea market method, and I've actually got another method for you, a third option coming up probably in the next episode. But if you're interested in pursuing either of these sooner than later, I realize that I have not actually given you a good idea of where to start for. And part of that's because I've tried to keep the podcast episodes to 10 to 15 minutes. But one of the biggest questions that I constantly see online over and over again is that question of where do I start, or what are the steps that I need to take to get started? I know there's a lot of examples of people that are doing really cool stuff, and there's a lot of courses on building email lists and building courses and writing ebooks and those types of things. But I still haven't really found anything that answers that question that you might have yourself, which is, you know, what are the very first steps that I take, or how do I get started? So if you're asking yourself that question, you're not alone. And I've actually got some good news, because I took the time to put together a guide and a workbook to answer that very question. Where do I start? And it's called, appropriately, Start Here, the Super Simple Path to Pick a Profitable Idea for Your Side Business or Blog. And it is a hands-on workbook that walks you step by step through the process of coming up with an idea, testing that idea, and then validating your idea with your first customers if you want to sell something, or your first fans if you want to build that audience. And it turned out really well. I'm really pleased with it. It's about 105 pages. It's very detailed instructions, and it's very step-by-step, and it's got a lot of pages and sections for you there to fill out and do some exercises. So it's really focused on taking action and helping you make decisions. So if you feel overwhelmed and you're not sure what actions to take or where to go, I hope that this would be a really good resource for you to get started. And if you are interested, you can purchase a copy today by going to supersimple.com/start-here, all one word. Again, that's supersimple.com/start-here, and start here is all one word. And if you grab a copy today, I've got a couple little bonuses there for you. Otherwise, if you'd like to connect with me online, as always, you can find me and other dads and moms and people of faith in our free private Facebook group, which is Quit Pinching Pennies. And you can find that by going to quitpinchingpennies.com, and that's going to redirect you over to Facebook. You can also find me online by searching for The Mooring or Dave Mooring, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, wherever. And then lastly, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to know when future episodes are released, please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts. And I would also welcome an honest review if you found this to be helpful or you enjoy what I'm doing here. But most importantly, I would just like you to share it if you know someone that would be able to listen and benefit from what I'm talking about. So otherwise, thank you again for your time and for listening today. And I hope that you have a great rest of your week. Take care.